Alright, what's up guys? Here we are, the post-Sony E3 conference podcast. I guess technically it's 251. But yeah, it'll be short. I was just reacting to the conference. A little off the bat, a little disappointed that I've had no trouble with the streams on anyone's conference. And I didn't watch Ubisoft's live, so, you know, I didn't do that one. But I watched all the other ones. And this is the only one that gave me stream problems.
Are we just jumping right into the issues?
Well, just to get them out of the way. Well, the first one was like the no audio on Twitch for the entirety of the Uncharted Legacy DLC trailer.
Yes, let's clear that up super quick. That was definitely Twitch, because if you switched to YouTube during that audio problem, there was no audio problem.
Yeah, that's what I had switched over, and I had just popped up the Kind of Funny stream to see if they were saying anything about it. And on my computer, if I watched on there, you can, if I turned up the volume, I can hear it loud enough from the, you know, auditorium mics that were there versus the stream audio. And but then eventually I jumped over to YouTube and it fixed itself in the middle of the, not in the middle, but after about a minute of the Days Gone demo, which came after the Horizon trailer. So I missed all the dialogue in the Horizon trailer, so I have to rewatch that.
If you stayed on Twitch, it was borked all through Horizon and all through Days Gone. Like, it was just borked for, like, the first three demos.
It came back, like I said, pretty quick in the Days Gone one. Like, it was right after he found the motorcycle. It came back. But there are those problems. And then just buffering problems and my echo on your end. Just crazy stuff. But there was just a lot of buffer. And even YouTube had issues later on, and they're just really disappointing.
I don't know what it was. If you check the viewers for the PlayStation conference were like double and triple that of the other conferences. I don't know if that's what caused it.
I have to think so. And then YouTube was streaming in 4K, so it was like,
right.
Now I'm not watching 4K on my, now on my computer I can watch on 4K, but on my TV I'm like, I'm not watching 4K, so are you still pushing out that signal, but the Twitch app will automatically scale it to the 1.8? Because usually Twitch app just goes source. Now, obviously, if I'm not in 4K, it'll just be down.
Curious, and I dropped Twitch down to 480p to see what happened, and it was still buffering constantly. Yeah. So whatever it was like it was a stream issue of what was being sent out.
Yeah.
And I think it was just because it was way more viewers than the previous ones had, but
that's,
like,
you know what it has to
come
be.
On, you guys couldn't predict that would happen.
Yeah,
and I feel like I need to watch like every single trailer from that show again.
Yeah, and not everyone's up on YouTube yet. The only ones that are up on YouTube in the official, aside from the cut from the conference versions, are the Horizon DLC, Shadow Colossus, and then the Uncharted DLC. But all the other ones are all videos posted not from the official PlayStation YouTube yet. They're still slowly going up. Like the Uncharted one just went up 9 minutes ago. Like, you'd think they would push them live immediately, like have all the videos loaded and, you know, 1440p or 4K, whatever resolution you're going to upload them at, and just, bam, push them out instantaneously. Or just push them and then flip them to go live. I don't know why you wouldn't load them up ahead of time, but I guess they'd be afraid that someone would accidentally leak it ahead of time.
Yeah, it's possible they could, like, schedule it or just set it to unlisted and somebody would find it.
Yeah, but issues aside, I like the conference. There was no, as we talked about in the chat we had, there were no real exclusive reveals.
There were no reveals.
Yeah,
the only reveals they had were Monster Hunter, Monster Hunter World, which has already been confirmed to be coming to Xbox, PC as well, and VR games.
And then, which
we can get into VR games later, but I'm pretty sure those were the only actual new reveals.
The Shadow Colossus remake.
Oh, yeah, sorry, in the remaster.
Which got rumored.
Or remake, rather.
Earlier today. That's why I instantly stopped. I avoided all news. I was like, damn it, now I saw this, so I know this is coming. And then, so I was like, but I'm actually looking forward to that, because that was one of those games I wish I could go back, but it just plays like, especially the original, is just plays like hot trash because it's so old. It's like, this is not good to play.
Jumping in the Shadow of the Colossus, do we agree that looks like a complete remake? Like, that doesn't look like a remaster or an HD upscale. That looks like they remade the game.
Yeah, you figure you kind of have to at this point, because that engine, I mean, you're going from PS2 and you're jumping two gens.
Yeah.
Well, also, why would you remaster it? You've already remastered it once. You're not going to release a second remaster.
Right, right. And those are like, those were just straight probably PS2 ports that were made to work a little, you know, shined up on the PS3. But I never played those, so I'm not sure exactly. Did I buy them? I don't know if I bought them or not. I might have bought them, just never played them. Or at least the Shadow Colossus, not Eco. But yeah, so I'll be
remasters. They were pretty good.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this.
The controls definitely don't hold up, though. I want them to redo the controls.
Yeah, I knew once I saw the bridge, I was like, okay, this is Shadow Colossus.
I joked about it in chat, like Shadow of the Colossus Born, thinking we'd see like From Software's one of their three new IPs, or one of their three new games rather, not new IPs. Thinking like, okay, it looks medieval fantasy. And I saw like the horse and the boy, and I'm like, okay, clearly it's not Shadow of the Colossus. So what could it be aside from Shadow of the Colossus? And then they show the first Colossus. They're just sitting there kind of like, what? What?
Oh, it is Shadow of the Colossus.
It came out of nowhere of like, I did not expect them. They've released like two or three versions of that game, and now to remake it, I'm super excited about it. But my first reaction was definitely one of denial of like, there's no way this is Shadow of the Colossus. Why would they remake Shadow of the Colossus? There's absolutely no way this is, oh, it's Shadow of the Colossus. Okay.
Well, you figure it's Bluepoint, and Bluepoint, that's what they do, is they do remasters and stuff like that. So it's not like it's a first party studio doing this. That's what Bluepoint does. So
this is their first remake, though.
I guess if they've done an entire...
They did remasters of Metal Gear Solid. They did the first Shadow of the Colossus and Ico Collection.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what else they've done.
They've done a lot. They did, I think, Halo as well.
All the games they've done thus far, at least that I remember off the top of my head, have been remasters, not remakes. So this might be their first time building it from the ground up.
Possibly. Yeah, usually it's that and it's ports, like bringing something to the Vita. They do a lot of that as well. So let's see, they did Blast Factor. I don't know if that's an original IP. God of War Collection, Shadow Colossus Collection, the Eco Shadow Colossus Collection, Metal Gear HD Collection, the Vita version of Battle Royale, Flower to the PS4 and the Vita, Titanfall port for 360. That's what it was, not Halo. Uncharted Nathan Drake Collection for Uncharted 4, Gravity Rush Remastered, and then the Shadow Colossus Remake. So, I'm curious how they pitched out. Like, obviously, if they're that studio, like, does Microsoft have titles that they would like to have, you know, remastered or remade, and then they kind of pitch it and whoever, you know, offers more? Because Bluepoint obviously can do these HD games, and they did a great job with the Metal Gear Collection and the Nathan Drake Collection, except that they used the Uncharted 3 model of Elena Fisher and Uncharted 2, which bugged me, but aside from that, they're really good.
I can't remember. Shadow of the Colossus. Paid for by Sony? I think the remake will be exclusive, or think it's going to be cross-platform?
Oh, no, it'll have to be exclusive. They own the IP to that, don't they?
I can't remember.
Yeah, Shadow of Colossus is owned by Sony, isn't it? Shadow of the Colossus.
It only ever came out on Sony consoles, didn't it?
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus. Released in Japan, blah, blah, blah. Published by Sony Computer Entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Developer mm-hmm. and published by them. Okay, yeah. So it's got to be that will be a first-party exclusive.
Yeah. But, it's going
to
be...
An actual exclusive, as opposed to a booming voice Xbox exclusive.
Exclusive launch.
Exclusive on the same.
Oh, it's so obnoxious.
Okay, quick side comment. I got so annoyed hearing exclusive at the front of every Microsoft game, and then they'd show that little banner at the bottom that was the caveat of like, mm-hmm. you hear booming voice, exclusive.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom of the screen, you see exclusive launch window for such and such, mm-hmm. or like, you see timed, not exclusive, it was console launch exclusive, mm-hmm. or available on Windows 10 and Xbox. Every single time there was a caveat to the exclusives.
Yeah.
Every time. The only game that was like actually exclusive, I think, State of Decay might have been console exclusive. There's only like one game that was actually console exclusive, and I'm like, okay, now you can play the noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now like you can play that soundbite.
This year's E3 overall, I feel like, was basically updates on stuff, IP that people already knew about or that was announced ahead of E3, like Far Cry 5, which was announced in earnings calls, so people knew that was coming. But then they did the trailer beforehand and they showed gameplay. The leaks of Assassin's Creed you already knew about. The new thing, they had the, Skull and Bones? Is that what the pirate game is called from Ubisoft? I think that's new IP that no one really knows. Okay, anyways, we're got to go back to Sony. We can talk about the rest of the thing overall on this coming weekend, but we go back to Sony. So there were things that were announced before the E3, before their conference. So Matterfall got a release date. That's the Housemarque game that was revealed back in 2015. That's going to come out on August 15th. Then we also got the Undertale announced for PS4 and Vita. That's going to come out, let's see, it's coming this summer. Then Superhot VR is coming to PSVR, which is cool because I hear the VR version of that is really awesome. That was announced before, that was during the pre-show. I didn't watch the pre-show. No release date on there. We also got the Knack 2 release date is going to be releasing in September for $40.
Wait, did I just miss Knack 2 during the conference completely? Did I, like, my brain block that out?
Nope, I just said all these announcements were before the conference. These were doing, like, their pre-show.
They were doing the pre-show.
They didn't, like, show any... Okay.
None of these things I'm talking about were shown at all during the conference. You didn't lag out and not see it. These are all announced beforehand. Okay.
Given all the technical problems I've had tonight, I thought clearly something must have happened, and it was a brain technical problem. So nope. I was still right.
Too much
so
indoor gut product. They also announced the the dates for the PSX 2017, which is December 9th and 10th in Anaheim. Tickets will go on sale in a future date. So there's that. So those things are announced beforehand. Because I was wondering, where's the Knack 2 and stuff like that. People were wondering if we were going to get Red Dead Redemption at the Sony thing, but they traditionally don't do... Rockstar usually doesn't do E3.
They do
their own thing.
Did for GTA 5 though, didn't they?
They might have at one point, but they showed they did tons of trailers well behind, constantly. It was like, here's a new screenshot, here's a person on a bike, here's a helicopter. It was fucking ridiculous, how much they're showing. Mm-hmm. But they controlled they controlled the story basically. They're like, this, here's what you get. You get this, you get this. It was all them. And then maybe later they showed some stuff at someone's stage, but it was like by that point we'd already seen plenty about GTA 5. But there's rumors that it would be Red Dead here. Now who knows, maybe we can see them at PSX. That could be a thing. We'll probably see, I'd imagine if we see Last of Us 2 again, it'll be at PSX since it was there last year, so that'll be a year's time of extra development. Also time to come up with an entirely new thing to show.
I won't lie, I hope they don't show anything more of The Last of Us until they give us a release date. I hope we get a release date trailer, and that's it. I want no other story spoilers. I want no speculation. I want, a 10-second release date trailer that says, hey, Isley, this game's coming out next week. And then I'll be like, okay, neat.
Yeah, pretty much.
I could see, if they do, since it's in December, if they show it at PSX, and it gets announced for a May release, just like The Last of Us was, the first game was like that, came out in May. I could see them doing something like that, out in May. And then maybe it gets delayed 2 weeks and comes out during E3. Or they don't say anything and they just wait till E3 to get the announced date of the summer or something like that. I really wish more games released in the summer. I was so concerned about all the games they showed being released in, Q4 2017.
We went from no games released this year to 90% of the games shown during E3 are releasing in Q4 this year.
Yeah.
All the games at once.
They're all coming. Yeah. every single one of them.
At least a lot of it's DLC too, because I can't talk much about the Horizon Zero Dawn DLC, the Frozen Wilds, since I didn't hear any audio. But that has it just says it'll be released in 2017. So I imagine that would be nice if that was December, because it's DLC. Just do December. Everybody's got their you know, they'll have either early December, that way they'll have their Christmas gift cards for all the kids, you know, who aren't, can't play game rated M. I don't know. But,
yeah. Is Horizon rated M?
I don't know. Is it? I never checked.
I feel like it's not. I'd be surprised if it was, but maybe.
Well, this image doesn't help me because that image says rating pending. I'd have to look on my PS4. Let me see if I have it on my, I don't even know if I have it on my cross menu anymore. Because
Busting chaps focusing on the way wrong thing here. But...
Yeah, I know you are.
Just way wrong thing.
Yeah, but anyways, Horizon Zero Dawn is rated E for everyone. No, fuck me, doesn't even say, Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, it's not telling me. It's like, nah, I ain't gonna tell you anything about nothing. Language packs. Okay, now what else did we get? They also showed, they confirmed, we all figured Skyrim VR was going to be coming to PSVR, so they confirmed that. T14. Okay, and then we also got the, like we said, the Monster Hunter Worlds trailer. We got that Marvel vs. Capcom, another trailer there for that. We got the God of War trailer, which I liked a lot. I was like, man, this, I love all those little effects of like the lava spewing off the monsters and shit, and the ice effects. I'm like, this game looks gorgeous. I'm like, it's really weird to see Kratos not yell, but.
So general comment about all of the games shown, but also specifically about God of War. All of the trailers they showed for existing games, and especially God of War, looked way more interesting than they did last year.
Yeah,
last year's trailer for God of War was like, okay, this is cool, this has potential.
Oh, for me, that looked great from the get-go.
Well, I mean, like, the...
As a fan of God of War.
I was excited about it. They showed a bunch of really cool things, and then you saw, like, all the enemies that were hidden in the forest, like the shadows and shit that, like, disappeared after a second, that you had to, like, analyze the trailer about. I was like, okay, this is a cool game, this has a lot of potential. But the story elements that they focused on this year with God of War... like just doubling down on him being a dad, and then that comment of like, doesn't matter what you did in the past, Kratos, you're a dad now and your kid needs you, whatever, like paraphrasing that comment was. That whole thing was way more interesting to me than what they showed last year.
Well, I was ready for the go right when the perspective from last year's trailer, they showed it wasn't going to be that third person thing. I was like, once they showed that, I was like, and the kid was there, I was like, shit, this is like taking God of War in a new direction. I was like, mm-hmm. So that's why I was good from the start, from the jump. But yeah, definitely this trailer was a lot more story stuff.
So we learned his kid's cursed somehow. His kid understands what the Norse gods are saying, which is pretty neat. And Kratos is half man, half god, dad.
Half man, half god, all dad.
Rage dad.
He is rage dad, but I don't know. It seems I really hope the journey of Kratos during that game is basically like he starts the game as a shit father and essentially learns to like love his kid and be a good dad.
See, I don't know about starting as a shit father. I guess
maybe
if he gets
he's just a hard ass.
No, but yeah, I mean like
not a shit father, but he's like I don't know. But I mean, want his like, progression to be. His character to be like his character growth to be dad related.
But I mean, I guess it could work if he'd like if the game starts to where the mom just dropped off the kid, like you gotta go take care of this because I can't, you need to fix this curse, and then that's where it's from the jump. It's like, okay, now he's introduced to the kid who just kind of he left them alone to be their thing, or you know, didn't want to, I don't know, be a dad or whatever. So I could see him starting out not being, but that also reminds me a lot of like the whole Joel and Ellie situation where he's
which they clearly got inspiration from,
but yeah. But so I can see that if it starts to where like he just finally meets the kid after he's been grown up, like you've seen him maybe when he's like one or two when the kid's nothing, and then he just goes away for whatever reason, spirit quest, I don't know, beard quest.
Well, it could also be, During the trailer, the kid makes a comment of, and I kind of zoned out for this, like, didn't quite catch it, but he makes a comment like,
yes, that's on.
Yeah, but at least I know the truth now, or at least now you've told me the truth, something like that.
Yeah, mom stole me stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it could be something along the lines of, you know, Kratos was hiding something before at the start of the game, and then at the start of the game, the kid finds out the truth, finds out, like, the history of Kratos' past, or, like, the kid's curse, or something like that. Finds out that story element is revealed. And then, basically, now, because everything is out in the open, it's like Kratos and the son can actually start bonding as opposed to hiding shit from each other, which would be kind of cool.
Right, yeah, like the mom and the kid go in the hiding because all these creatures are hunting down Kratos, and so he goes away to kind of protect them. And then he, you know, they find out he's sick, mom finds out he's sick because whatever reason, Kratos has to take care of him, so she has to tell him about his dad and who he is, blah, 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 and the dangers. And then maybe she, well, hopefully it's not like, oh, and then she dies, because that's a little cliche. Like, and then he
can take off. Hopefully it's not the kid was bitten by something and has immunity to it.
A spurter.
There were definite, like, heavy Last of Us vibes I was getting from. There were a lot of Last of Us vibes during the entire conference.
Yeah, a bit. But then immediately after God of War, they showed a new trailer for Detroit Become Human, and that, I want to say, did that get a release window? I don't see an article on that. Did that have a release window get announced? I'm trying to look here. Let me go back to the PS4 thing here. Because I thought, I see the trailer, but I don't see, I don't see any articles written up saying, here's the release date.
I don't even think they put, like, a window on it, like, spring or something like that. I think that it was just...
Yeah, because God of War was early 2018, trailer. Which to me hopefully means Q1, because that'd be great. That'd be definitely a fun Q1 game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then the Detroit one, which every time I see, I'm like, every time I see that, it's like, I want to play this game. But then they always keep showing that, like, here's one action, and here's how else it could play out. I'm always like, I'm going to fucking hate myself when I play this, and then... my characters die, and then I get the shit ending. Kind of like, mm-hmm. God damn it, I want the perfect ending.
I really like those trailers.
I like them too.
It's got that, like, Fire Emblem thing where it's just like, you don't want to play anymore because somebody's going to die, and you just shut the game off because they just can't die.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I gotta quit and reload my save. I gotta play it differently. But I'll have to do the thing where I play the game once, and that's it. And I'm like, done. Cause, like,
I love those trailers. Like, when it cuts in with the narrator going out, or the narrator going, like, things could have been different, and then they show how else it could have played out. I think that's a brilliant way to, like, show trailers for these games.
Oh, it is.
Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. The trailers for most of his earlier games sucked. They were not good trailers. Heavy Rain, if you go watch those trailers again, like, they were kind of interesting, but they did not show any sort of, like, interesting gameplay or game elements at all. They showed interesting story elements, but that was about it. So these, like, you know, things could have been different trailers are really cool for a type of game like this.
Yeah, I like them a lot. It just seems like there's going to be, with the way the story is, like, there's way more weight to your decisions. So I'm worried, like, well, what if I make this decision? How will that ripple and affect things way down the line? Because there are a lot of small decisions in Beyond Two Souls that can lead, like, to main characters just killing themselves, and it's like,
come on, it's the same in Heavy Rain. You could kill everyone including the antagonist.
Yeah, but
everyone in that game could die.
But everybody died because you failed at a quick prompt. They didn't die because of a choice you made.
No, there were characters that died because of choices you made. If you didn't find all the clues for the main villain investigating, like, one of the offices, that, like, drastically altered the story. So maybe this character didn't die, but at the end, if you didn't make specific choices, the main cop character, his life is, like, ruined because he gets addicted to that weird, like, VR drug thing.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. Like, there's no, like, that was like, okay, I was fine with that outcome. Like, whatever, if I didn't perfectly tie up his storyline.
His life is ruined.
But I'm talking about
he was a main character. Sure, he doesn't die, but he gets, like, massively addicted to a drug.
Fine.
And it ruins his life.
But that I was fine because that's an ending. So it's like, that's the end I got for that character. It wasn't like,
so it was
that but that character didn't get
too.
No, but he didn't get crushed. I didn't lose a prompt and he dies getting crushed in a car. That's what I'm talking about. I'm worried about losing characters outside of my
to
control
stupid
early
shit.
On. Like, oh, because I was totally renegade here, because because I won't play that way. I'll be all like passive and stuff as these androids. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I gotta use peace to win. But like, I'm wondering if there's gonna be weight to those. There's like, nah, you should have done. Something. I forget what game it was. Where it was like, sometimes letting people live, like that was one text like maybe letting them live isn't a good idea. But I forget what game it was. And like the idea that saving someone's life wasn't necessarily the right thing to do because it could fuck you up later. But I can't.
The Witcher. I think that was The Witcher that advertised. I remember the advertising campaign where essentially the advertising campaign involved that there were basically like no right choices.
No.
And that someone living wasn't necessarily the best thing. I'm pretty sure that was The Witcher.
No, it was a different game because it was more like it wasn't as big of a title. It was something else. It was more like one of those things like, you know, you just come across the simple thing, like you come across the guy who's seeking your help and you give him a hand, and then like later that person will come back and maybe like try to rob you or something. Like, but it wasn't The Witcher. It was something small. I just can't remember. But I don't think it necessarily played out how they said it would, kind of thing. Like, it was more like this idea that didn't quite get there during the final game. But I'm just, my concern is always just choices I make. Like in Beyond Two Souls, when in my playthrough, I don't know anybody who's played it at this point, spoilers. But
that game's like what, 30 years old by now?
No, not quite. But in my game,
exactly.
Willem Dafoe committed suicide, and I was like, "Fuck!" And I was like, "What?" And I was like, "What could I have done to not have this happen?" And granted, he wasn't one of the playable characters. You only had the one playable character, but I was still like, I was bummed. I was like, "Damn it!" I was like, "I bet he could have been saved." And then, so I'm just worried that stuff might affect things earlier on. If it turns out, like, it's a storyline, like, they don't necessarily die, but then at the very end something happens and it wraps up in a story way, I'll be okay. I'm worried about losing characters early on outside of button prompt, but just from decisions. And that's always my fear. It's like, damn, I don't want to lose anybody. But, let's see, what else did we get? We got the Spider-Man trailer, which was a game I didn't care about when it was announced, but seeing the gameplay mechanics, not the web-slinging, but like the sneaking around and using the tactics, because I love stealth in games, I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm suddenly interested in a game I cared nothing about because
that game
of the gameplay
got
mechanics.
Way more interesting with the trailer they showed this year.
Well, yeah,
I fully agree.
Yeah, I
went from not caring at all, being like, okay, I like open world games, Marvel movies are fun to watch and I definitely enjoy them, but I'm not like so diehard Marvel that I want to play superhero games, and I also don't have any nostalgia for any of the characters.
Yeah.
That seeing the gameplay for this, I was kind of like, holy shit, I actually kind of want this.
And I was like, this looks pretty good. And I was like, I like the way it moves and the way you can sneak around. I'm like, I gotta do this. And then I thought it was pretty funny how they did that button where they show like the closing reel and then they show Miles Morales in the trailer.
Which,
yeah.
Okay. Is not great. I don't want to say mediocre. It was above average, but I wasn't like overly thrilled with Sony's conference as much as it was like that. Ending it with the comment of, you know, them talking, the two kids talking with the Spider-Man trailer being like, okay, we got to go. And then he goes, we got to go, Miles. I was like, that's a pretty damn good way to end the conference.
Yeah, it's kind of like a button. That was kind of fun. So, yeah, there's both Peter Parker and Miles Morales in the new Spider-Man game. But, yeah, overall, there was way more game trailer. Like I said, I'm glad there was release windows. We talked about the trailer for Days Gone and how it was a much better trailer towards what the game is.
The trailer last, again, this, my comment earlier, the trailers they showed last year were horrible compared to the ones they showed this year.
Yeah, this is a much better trailer.
The Days Gone trailer last year, I think I remember actually watching it with you two last year and making the comment of like, this game looks fucking awful, why would you choose to end a conference on it? Because right. The trailer was like thousands of zombies chasing you and you're running in a circle like blowing up barrels to kill them. And I remember just sitting there like bitching to you two being like, this game looks horrible. Like,
yeah,
why
bitching.
Would you show this as an exclusive to end your conference?
So much bitching.
And then they showed it this year, and I'm watching it going like,
bitching.
Okay, I'm pretty sure this is Days Gone, but the gameplay is all of a sudden slow. He's setting traps and being stealthy.
I don't know how you didn't know it was Days Gone when it's the character, it's the studio. Like, do you miss the Sony Ben logo? Did you miss everything? I was like,
no,
even,
I saw it all.
Like,
it was just
what?
The disconnect
like,
of like, okay, the gameplay that they showed here
did you eat
was the exact opposite.
Because you're like, during the whole conference, you're all over the place. I was like, does he not know what something is?
So you're going to buy Dark Souls 3, right, Zaya?
Damn it! No, he didn't say that specifically. No, he didn't. No, it doesn't count. He's talking about edibles.
Yeah, edibles put you to sleep.
Damn it.
The trailer, it was like 100% the extreme of what they showed last year. That's why I was confused.
Yeah, it was, I like the, you know, we talked about the, in the first trailer when they show, like, the massive, you know, the hundreds of freakers, like, running around. It's like, it didn't seem like that intimidating. But when the scene when he blows open the dam and they all run past, to me, something I had anxiety, like, well, if I fuck that up, that's like, no, you're not getting out of that alive. It's just game over. You might as well just walk in and be like, oh, kill me, I'll just restart checkpoint. Like, it was totally like one of those, like, well, I can't stop that. Like, in at least in Last of Us, like, if it's four runners, I'm like, get away from these, kind of fight and melee them one-on-one, you know? But that, I was like, nah, that's like, you can't do anything if you fuck up. I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. But so that seemed a little better. And then the seeing the animals and everything, and a lot of bears in trailers, I feel like this, like, that one year was like, I felt like year of the horses, there's the year of the bow, I feel like this is like the year of the bear. There's always like bears everywhere, I feel like. I don't know why, but
zombie bear?
Yeah, zombie bears.
We got bows, bears, and horses in the C3.
Yeah, and fishing. Monster of the Deep.
I want to play it. I will play it. Get me a VR. I will play the shit out of it.
I loved our text conversation during that. Oh, I swear to God, I hope this is just a fishing game.
Then Zaya, just a fishing
game. I'd buy it even if it was. And then at the end, oh my God, it is just a fishing game.
Yeah.
I'll still play it.
Yeah.
That game was so
out of nowhere. I fished the
shit
out of this fish in that game.
That game was so out of nowhere.
You know, they showed that one trailer. It was during the VR section. So they showed the Moss trailer, and then there was that, was it Star Child?
Yep.
The one with the giant robot. I feel like those seems like they didn't show any more gameplay of the Star Child. When I first watched it, I was like, why would you have a VR game in the side scroll? Then I was like, okay, you're going to be the giant robot. But I like that idea for VR where you are the, you know, quote unquote god character guiding some other characters by helping them out with your trap. Like in the Moss trailer, you're helping the mouse creature. And then the other trailer, you're probably gonna be the big robot, like helping the character platform around. I kind of like that idea of being the god character helping out the NPC. I like that aspect of VR. It seems really cool. And they showed some of those, the inpatient. There's a lot of horror games and really interesting VR games coming out recently that, like, once they stack, I'm like, man, there's gonna be a lot of stuff I really want to play in VR. It's just starting to build up. I'm like, I gotta have to do it. Just get everything all at once. I'm trying to see what else. What else was there? Can you think of something else? I'm trying to think of anything that was noteworthy. We did have the new Destiny 2 trailer, but we knew about that. They showed, talked about the exclusive content. Not much else, I don't think, in the way of Sony's conference.
So,
nope.
The VR games this year, they actually look kind of cool.
Yeah.
They
look interesting. It's what VR needs, is like something different than what's out there right now.
Yeah, it'd be cool because when everything comes out, like, they'll have, because I feel like once Super Hot is out, once The Inpatient, there's a couple other games, I'm totally blanking on the name. There's some first-person shooty games that look really cool that I saw recently. But once, like, all these games come out, I'm like, that's going to be a really fun little library to play on. And I'll be having to add them all up there and waiting for them. Probably buy them on sale so I can start building that library. But
so you skipped over perhaps the two most important games, though, which Monster Hunter World.
We talked about it for a sec.
The jankiest presentation of a game I've ever seen. Man, was that my stream, or was that like my computer?
It was the stream, because
it was where it was like lagging and catching up.
Man, on the worst was on YouTube on my PS4. It would Twitch at least would pause, buffer, and then continue where it had paused and not go back to being live. But YouTube, it just, the screen freezes and the audio continued. but if I pause and unpause, it would fix it, but then eventually it would do it again. I'm like, okay, that's when I jumped during the Monster Hunter ones, when I jumped from that to back to Twitch on my computer, which is funny because then when I did that, I was behind on YouTube and it was still playing the Monster Hunter one, and then the Shadow Colossus trailer started immediately on Twitch before the Capcom logo even came up for Monster Hunter. So it was funny. I was like, well, I'm just going to close this because I know it's Monster Hunter. And then I just started watching the Shadow Colossus one. But
that, yeah, that, I don't know.
Yeah.
That trailer was so danky. I want Monster Hunter, and I've loved previous Monster Hunter games. But the whole, like, the whole trailer for it is just sitting there going, is this game really that bad, or is this like some other issue?
Mm-hmm.
Or like the actual playback for the thing wasn't working properly or something, but I think it was the stream,
right?
Because I think if it was actually janky like in the theater, you probably would have seen a lot more of like Twitter freaking out about it or something.
Yeah, but there would have been. Yeah, well, they already had people, like, that was the worst thing, because in the Twitch chat, like, when it first started, when there's no audio, then it was, like, a lot of, like, Sony fails, Sony this, blah, 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 that, and that. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's them. I think it's, you know, Twitch, because I can hear it here, blah, blah, blah. But,
yeah, I checked it out just because I got frustrated about it in Twitch chat, and then as soon as it changed over to YouTube, I was like, well, I've got them both playing, and Twitch is fucked up while YouTube is okay. That leads me to believe it's Twitch and not Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And then The Inpatient.
Yeah, that's the one VR game we're talking about that looks really good. The one you're scared to play.
Dude, that's like one of my nightmares. Come on. Being trapped in an asylum where essentially the person that's analyzing you, that's supposed to be helping you, won't let you leave. That's like a huge fear.
Yeah, because he looks like
a
doctor.
What if you committed me? You guys would commit me and I wouldn't get out.
Probably, surrounded by cacti. He looks like the doctor who informs Venom Snake that he has no arm.
Yeah.
Like,
but I'm not the only one that noticed that.
But,
did he?
Yeah, he looks just like that doctor. He reminds me of him.
From
just
the beginning
facial,
of
just
Phantom
facial,
Pain.
Yeah, he just with facial hair. But they both look the same. But... yeah, there was a. Yeah, I like the trailers I saw, but yeah, there's no real, you know, big surprises. So I can't really say that overall, from a game's perspective, that it necessarily was like, oh, the definitive winner of E3. It's like, I feel like more games are shown there, more bigger games are shown, but because it was stuff we knew about and we're just kind of getting new footage and then release dates, it's just kind of like, yeah, it's, you know, B plus showing kind of ties with all mm-hmm. the other ones, because I mean, even everybody else's Microsoft was stuff you knew about, for the most part anyways. And then the only thing I didn't see coming was the Dishonored DLC from Bethesda. But
E3 this year was kind of like
things you knew.
There were very few exclusives, like new exclusives that were shown at all. It was kind of like an E3 of third-party games, basically, of Microsoft and Sony. Neither of them had very great conferences. They were both above average, but neither of them were like, oh my god, this is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
However, if you look at E3 as a whole, we got a lot of really cool third-party game announcements. So we got Anthem, which I know you're not super interested in, but I still think looks awesome. We got A Way Out, which looks pretty cool. We got Metro Exodus, which looks, you know, phenomenal. Assassin's Creed Origins could be good, could be bad. Evil Within and Wolfenstein. Beyond Good and Evil 2. Like, we got a lot of really cool third-party games, just yes. Not first-party.
Yeah, it was a really good year for games and seeing stuff. But, yeah, there was no, like, big standout crazy conference or anything. But, yep.
Yeah, there was no like singular thing that Microsoft or Sony could be like, this is our thing that everybody wants, it's on our console, we win.
Right.
So
yeah,
pretty much both of them. I mean,
yeah,
and we'll see what happens.
They both need something.
Well, we'll see what happens at I'm curious what'll happen to E3 next year once everything's basically out, and then I'm curious what they'll show at the PSX, because it can't be. They probably won't show too much, but I figured they got to show something there for the audience. But then we do have TGS and Gamescom later this year. Not that I expect anything new to be announced necessarily at either those, maybe TGS, like some more Japanese-centric games, but...
So, a few comments. They originally announced The Last of Us 2 at PSX. That wasn't E3, yeah, that was...
No, PSX last year.
So we could get a new game announcement there, and then in regards to like game announcements at E3...
But from who? What studio?
Well, we don't know what Sucker Punch has been working on for the past like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Sucker Punch has just been MIA, and they're supposed to be working on a new IP. So we could get Sucker Punch, and then TGS could be... We've got a bunch of Japanese game devs that weren't showcased at all during Sony's conference. Usually they showcase like some of them. So we've got a bunch of Japanese game devs that weren't showcased at all.
Yeah.
So Tokyo Game Show could be, you know, Japanese devs, which would fit.
They got and then From Software's got to be there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, we could have From Software. PSX then could be like, the big reveal for PSX could be whatever new IP Sucker Punch is working on.
Or they could say Bloodborne 2 for PSX. Maybe if they, unless they, if they don't show that at TGS. If they show one of the other two games, because they got three games they're working on, so they could show some of the other ones, like the Armored Core, and then say, because it's an exclusive, maybe save that for because Sony would be, I guess, own the IP there, so. But
I gotta admit, I'm surprised we didn't get any FromSoft news. I honestly didn't think we would get Bloodborne 2, but I did think we would get a teaser trailer for whatever the, like, the third mystery game is. So, I mean, it's kind of assumed it's Bloodborne 2. We know Armored Core is one of them. I thought we would get some sort of teaser trailer for the third mystery game.
Yep. Oh, well, let's see what happens. Anyways, I gotta wrap it up here because it's Monday, so I don't have as long to record as we normally do. But we'll definitely talk more about E3 this weekend so we can get back on there. Plus, I'm sure there'll be more fleshed out details on announcements and we have more time for all this stuff to kind of set in and well, who knows what? Maybe Nintendo will surprise the world tomorrow, and everybody will be like, "Oh my God!" Heads explodes.
Animal Crossing Switch.
But
give it to me.
But yeah, we'll see. So, yeah, that'll do it for the post E3 Sony conference show. And we will thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you all for tuning in. We will catch you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.